We waited 30 years.
The wait is over.
But this season...
What happens now?
Champions of baseball.
It's time to defend the crown. This is World Champion Dodger Talk.
It's yours, Los Angeles.
Breaking down the world champion LA Dodgers all season long.
So happy, man.
LA Dodgers baseball is brought to you by Chef Marito.
Seasoning partner of the Dodgers.
Navi and tankless water heaters.
For endless hot water, visit tanklessmadesimple.com.
And by Chevrolet.
Find new roads.
Don't miss an episode and get all the podcasts on the iHeartRadio app. Now your host, LA's favorite Dodger insider.
The city's favorite son.
Here's David Vasek.
The Dodgers sweep the Washington Nationals here at Dodger Stadium. They shut them out 3-0 today behind a great performance from Clayton Kershaw. Six scoreless innings with six strikeouts. Welcome to Dodger Talk. David Vasek live at Dodger Stadium, where the Dodgers shut out the Nationals 3-0, and they outscore them in this three-game series 13-5. They shut them out 1-0 in the home opener when they received their rings, and they sweep them out of town by shutting them out again 3-0 and holding Juan Soto in check. 866-987-2570. The last home sweep of the Nationals was back in 2016, June 20th to the 22nd. They swept the Nationals here at Dodger Stadium. So a good day for Kershaw versus Scherzer. The hype lived up to it. They both went six innings today, but a misplay by Victor Robles allowed an RBI double to turn into the first run of the game. Scherzer thought he was out of the inning. So did everybody else here at the stadium. But Zach McKinstry put the ball in play and sent it to the warning track in center field with two outs. Muncy was running all the way and was able to score from first base. And then, fast forward to the seventh inning, Zach McKinstry, the secret weapon, not so secret anymore, comes up again with two outs and a runner on in a 1-0 game against right-hander Tanner Rainey, and hits a two-run home run with two outs and drives in all three Dodger runs. He now leads the Dodgers in RBIs this season. He has 10. Justin Turner has 9. 866-987-2570. And oh, by the way, you didn't think I was going to forget to mention my guy, Kenley Jansen, proving that he is far from over, and he did it emphatically today. A new walk-in song. I'm not sure I loved it that much, but a new walk-in song, and you could see that he came in an angry pitcher today, and he showed it. 94, 95 cutters today. Blew away the bottom order of the Nationals to retire them in order. 1-2-3, similar to the way Corey Knebel put away that save in the home opener a couple of days ago. So for all those that were ready to say goodbye to Kenley Jansen, I'll just tell you this. Be careful when you write a player off that has had the career that Kenley Jansen has had. I know he hasn't looked great consistently, and I'll tell you this. I feel like he has to do it again, and he has to do it over again for, I guess, you to be sold that he's that guy. And I'm not sure he is that guy. I feel like Dave Roberts and Andrew Friedman have a great plan for him to be able to get him more rest, maybe not use him on back-to-back days as much as they're used to doing in the past, because I feel like that played into him having 94 and 95 today as well. 866-987-2570. Ned Colletti is joining us now from the Sportsnet LA studios. And Ned, before we get to Kershaw and McKinstry, let's start from the end and what you saw from Kenley Jansen today.
I saw somebody who was really geared up to it. We haven't seen that for a while. And I think you make a good point about be careful about writing off a player. I also think it's important that whenever you think about writing off a player, you better be sure you've got somebody to take that spot. But he was terrific today, and I think he's going to have to continue to repeat that. But he was as good as anybody you could ever see in that role right now.
I'm not sure. Everybody keeps asking me, where is that Kenley Jansen? I thought it was funny that even Clayton Kershaw said, I don't know where that was. Dave Roberts, I don't know where that was. So Where was it, Ned? Yeah, you've had to play. You've kind of had to play psychologist with him in the past when you're the GM. I know Kenny Howell used to do that as well back in the day.
Well, I think you have to do it with a lot of different players. I don't think it's just Kenley, and I think it's the psychology of sports is really interesting, and I think that sometimes you have to fight for it. You have to fight for your opportunity. Let's face it, nobody's really threatened Kenley for years, and now you saw competition. You saw how Knebel threw the other day. We see how Trinan is thrown now for more than a year. There's some competition there, and you got guys that it's not like they haven't pitched a ninth inning. Two of them have got outstanding, have had, you know, big-time years behind them. So I think it helps. I think that's one of the attributes of this club, competition. Guys want to play. Everybody wants to win, and they all love each other, but they do want to play. And I think you saw a little bit of that today. Plus, I think his delivery was better. I think it was more in sync. When his delivery is a little bit out of sync, you got command issues, and whether you have a command issue, sometimes you're going to have a velocity issue.
How about Clayton Kershaw today, Ned? He's able to throw 86 pitches in six scoreless innings. He threw his slider more than any other pitch today, 41 times. He threw it, and compared to his fastball, 30 times. He threw the curveball 15 times. But his slider, I mean, he had great command of his slider today.
Obviously, he can make a pitch. And I think we saw great sliders today. What he threw, the 3-2 slider he threw to Mercer was an outstanding pitch. That entire at bat, I thought, was classic Kershaw. He's down 3-1. Got a key part of the game. You're trying to get out of the inning. Throws a fastball, took a little bit off it, about 88, 89. And then that slider, the back foot to the right-handed hitter, terrific. But it's, you know, you see the difference between Hall of Fame and very good and good and mediocre, the ability to make a pitch in a key spot. His slider was terrific. You'll continue. If he's got that working, he is really tough, especially to right hand. Well, either right-handed or left-handed, because it's going to run away from the lefty. And the break on it, it doesn't start really till it's a couple feet in front of the plate and the hitter's already committed to swing.
And I won't call it a cutter because he wants – told me very in a strong way never to call his slider a cutter, but I will say this. Other hitters have told me when that slider is being used not as going to the back foot of a right-handed hitter and he's using it around the knee area, it has cutter action. That's what it appears to be to hitters, and he's been able to use it as a big-time weapon. It's not just the slider with depth. He's using that slider that has cutter action, and he used it to get Juan Soto in the last at-bat. Yes. That Soto faced him, and I thought he really did a great job of making him guess at what he was doing. And I guess at this point, Ned, that's who Clayton Kershaw has to be and who he's evolved into. Number one, having command of his pitches, and number two, not being predictable.
No doubt. And I think it's really the evolution of every pitcher. When you look at you referenced it, those since 1969 that are 100 games over 500, that group, there's a lot of pitchers on that list that in order to get to that point, they had to adjust who they are and how they attack hitters. And I think you've seen that from Clayton. You know, when he used to get in trouble, it used to be fastball, 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 harder, harder, harder if he could. You know, now he's learned so much, and he's always been somebody who sought information and sought the challenge of competition. And I think now you see where the slider is great. The curveball, we know how good that is. The fastball still has enough to it. You know, it's 90, 89, 90, 91. Still has enough to it that it keeps hitters honest. And when you deal with a slider like that, whether it's to the left-handed hitter or right-handed hitter, or you deal with a curveball like that, that fastball has got enough to it that it looks more than 89, 90, 91.
866-987-2570. The Dodgers shut out the Washington Nationals today by a final score of 3-0. They have now won 8 of their first 10 games for the second time in 3 years. They have the best record in baseball, and their starting staff certainly has set the tone for that. When we continue here on Dodger Talk, we'll bring back Ned for another segment to talk about the secret weapon. If you don't know who it is, well, he's starting to let you know who it is. We're driving in all 3 Dodger runs, and that's Zach McKinstry. 866-987-2570. Dodgers beat the Nationals, sweep them out of LA right here on AM 570 LA Sports.
This is Dodger Talk on your home of the world champion Dodgers. Follow us on Instagram at AM 570 LA Sports for more Dodger content.
The home of the Dodgers,
AM 570 LA Sports.
2 balls and 1 strike. Brady set. Here's the pitch. There's a fly ball to right center field. That one is well hit. And it is gone. A home run. The Zach attack.
There it was with 2 outs in the 7th inning. Zach McKinstry, 2-run home run to give the Dodgers what would be the final score, 3-0 over the Washington Nationals. Welcome back to Dodger Talk. David Vasse live at Dodger Stadium. Ned Coletti at the Sportsnet LA studios. We would like to remind you that every season, Daniel's Jewelers gives fans the chance to win a $50 gift card for guessing the correct number of home runs. For your chance to play, visit am570lasports.com and use the keyword home run for your chance to enter this season. All right, Ned, you've been calling Zach McKinstry a baseball player since spring training. Clayton Kershaw referenced that as well after the game. So what is a baseball player? I thought all these guys on the field are a baseball player.
Well, I think you go back a few years, yeah, pretty much everybody was a baseball player. Now I think when you see somebody play with a relentless pursuit, I mean, not overly gifted talent-wise, but gifted enough that when you add the pursuit to it, you've got yourself a really good player, kind of like Billy Miller, the former Dodger who was a batting champion in Boston. I don't think Zach McKinstry takes a pitch off. I don't think he takes his mind out of the game. And I think if you're Alex in the clubhouse, I think every day that you and your staff are cleaning that uniform, it's going to be dirty. And I think that's who he is. 33rd round pick, Central Michigan University, where it's freezing throughout your season. I tell you what, he can play, and he'll be a great Dodger. He'll play it. He'll play it like old-time baseball.
Yeah, I think I know what you're saying. He's a guy that, number one, has a baseball IQ, knows where to be, knows what's going on, especially before the ball is hit, and he's able not to try to overpower every swing, but plays like that, it's going to go over the wall if you have the right approach.
You know, it's Jeff Kent told me this years ago. His dad told him, look, there's a million ways to help your team win a baseball game. People look at home runs. They look at extra base hits. They look at making a flashy defensive player if you're a position player. But there's a lot of ways to win a baseball game. I think in Zach McKinstry's mind, that's what he thinks. He's going to figure out a way to do it. Whether it's making that play in right field, he missed the first foul ball a couple nights ago, fell over the rail. About a couple innings later, here it comes again, figures it out. I think that this kid is going to be a tremendous example for everybody. I think he's going to become a favorite among the fan base because of how he goes about his work.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I feel like the way he's playing all over the place, they needed him in left field today. They started Rios in right field, and then you're able to double-switch players in and shift them around. He's a huge asset for sure. You're a huge asset too, Ned.
One more thing on Zach, then I'll let you go
Okay.
Here. When you think about drafting somebody in the 33rd round out of a university in the northern part of this country, that is great scouting. That is really paying attention and knowing who you're drafting. It's not some people see that maybe as a throwaway pick, but look at the pick they got that late in that part of the country. That is tremendous, tremendous drafting and player development by the organization.
Yeah, well, you're right. And from what I've been told from scouts that saw McKinstry when he was playing at single A, he made a huge jump in development from single A to where he was a couple of years ago at triple A. So the Dodgers have great development going on in the minor leagues, yes, to get these guys to improve that much. I mean, even Gavin Lux, when he first started, he was hitting about 200. He had a hard time adjusting to professional baseball, and they're still working with him.
Yes, and Will Smith, too. Nobody thought that this was going to be a 40-home run guy.
Right, yeah. And everybody talked about his defense. His offense is really what's his asset now as a catcher, part of that catching combo with Austin Barnes. All right, Ned, we'll check in with you Tuesday when the Dodgers welcome in the Rockies. Should be more of the same that we saw opening weekend.
Let's just keep adding to it. Thanks, David.
All right, Ned, there he goes. Ned Coletti from the Sportsnet LA studios. Coming up in just a moment, we'll give you an update on Cody Bellinger and Mookie Betts and how the Dodger rotation looks next week, including starting that three-game series in San Diego next Friday night. 866-987-2570. Let's go out to Riverside. Carl, thanks for being patient. You're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Carl.
Oh, hey, Dave. First-time caller here. I just wanted to say I appreciate everything that you do for the fans, getting us inside the Dodger Clubhouse and getting us all the information.
Oh, my pleasure, Carl. I haven't been in that clubhouse for a year, but I still harass players in other ways.
Right, as close as you can be. I guess you're about to get to that update right now, but actually my question today, I didn't really have anything about today. I thought everyone played great. I'm really happy for Kenley. I'm really happy for Clayton. I'm glad they got to showcase everything they had. I'm glad the Dodgers got to win. But I know you're going to probably dive into this deeper, but my question was about Mookie and Cody and their health and when we were able to get these guys back into the lineup. I'm glad that our offense was able to stay so strong throughout all this stint without them, but getting them back surely will only help and make us even better.
Yeah, 100%. The depth has been tested without Mookie Betts and Cody Bellinger, two of the better hitters the Dodgers have in this lineup. They make it complete with Justin Turner, Corey Seager, Max Muncy, and the rest of the guys. And more importantly, it kind of restricts what Dave Roberts is able to do off his bench, having to start guys like McKinstry and Rios today in the corner outfield spots. But think about this, Carl. Today was a day game, and if he's dealing with a sore back, I didn't see him starting in today's game after the way Dave Roberts was talking about. Not only a day game today, a day off tomorrow, and a night game on Tuesday night. So if he's not in the lineup Tuesday night, then I would be a little concerned that they're going to put him on the injured list. But I feel like the Dodgers were playing it safe with Mookie Betts today, a day game, and giving him tomorrow off as well. So they used the schedule. As far as Cody, Carl, good news. He was working with trainers on the field doing some light agility drills. So Cody Bellinger could be activated next Friday to start that three-game series against the Padres. 866-987-2570. We have a full board of calls, so be patient. We'll get to you all before 5 o'clock. Let's go out to Downey. Robert, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Robert. Yeah, that's right. Tell the family. Turn it down. That's right.
Okay. Hey, Dave, how you doing?
Great, Robert. What do you have for me?
I just want to say, number one, Kershaw had a hell of a game today. Nah, Kenley, for all those Kenley haters, he's awesome. Just got to be patient with him. Give him props. And with Fernando, what do you think about him returning his number?
I'm all for it. I feel like if there is an exception to be made, it's for Fernando Valenzuela. But how about this? Let me blow your mind, Robert. Think of all of these different people that have been inducted into the Hall of Fame over the last, let's say, even 5-10 years. Managers, commissioners, owners. Are you telling me they had more of an impact on the popularity of the game, especially here in Los Angeles, the biggest market in all of the country, than Fernando Valenzuela? If you're talking, and that is part of some of the criteria to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, the impact that you had on the game. So I think I'll take it a step further, and Fernando, with some of these subcommittees in the Hall of Fame, definitely should be considered for that.
I agree with that.
Well, and then he'll have his number retired, because that's the unspoken standard here with the Dodgers. You have to be inducted into the Hall of Fame to have your number retired. The only exception was Jim Gilliam, number 19, when he passed away suddenly in 1978. But I think you got to start considering it seriously for the Hall of Fame as well. I mean, some of these people that go in, are you telling me they had more of an impact than Fernando Valenzuela? Let's go out to Hollywood. Eric, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vesse. Hi, Eric.
Dodger Nation! David, our 2020 World Series champion, L.A. Dodgers, just rock the Nationals. L.A. doesn't forget. We don't like the Nationals, bro. Not in a hate kind of way, because there's too much hate out there, but we just don't like what they did to us in 2019. But they just got swept. We just put them on notice. David, I just want to say, I love how this team is made up. Two guys are down and two guys are up. Gavin and Zach, they're battling. They're playing very good. They're trying to make a name for themselves on this team. And I just love this workman-like mentality. I said it last year. They're a band of brothers, and two guys have just joined this band. And, I mean, they've always been there, David. But these two guys have joined in, and they want to make a name for themselves. So, Mookie, rest that bat. Cody, take care of that ankle. Zach's got this covered, man. David, what's up with this Zach guy? Where has this guy been?
If you were listening to me last year, I told you about him. Be ready. Secret weapon. Thanks for the phone call. Yeah, I mean, I had heard great things about Zach McKinstry going back a couple of years ago, and then I saw him playing spring training last year, and that small sample size as far as summer camp goes. This guy had all the right tools to be a really good baseball player. And you heard Nick Coletti explain what that means, and he's proving it now. He's ready, and he's getting his opportunity, and I don't think there's any looking back. I thought Chris Taylor put it perfectly last night after the game, that this is not just some hot streak. It's not some shooting star. This is just the beginning of what is going to be a long career for Zach McKinstry. 866-987-2570. Let's go out to, all the way to Brooklyn, Marshall. Calling in from where maybe the Barclays Center is, that the Astrodome that Walter O'Malley wanted to build was supposed to be. What's up, Marshall?
I am right by there, David. And I got to say, first time I called in, I love the show. I think you do a great job. You are a very fair critic, but you're at your core, you are a spirited Dodger supporter. And that's why I love this show. And I think what we saw this weekend, what a terrific weekend, right? So Kenley and Kirsch today, there's some energy out there. There are kind of people waiting for those guys to falter. And I think to all of you folks, get on board with the rest of us. You're going to enjoy this season so much more if you're with all of us pulling for these guys, because they are our boys. They are our boys of summer. They've been with us for over a decade, and they are going to deliver us back to the World Series. And then to have, I think just like that last caller said, to have Cody out and Mookie out this weekend and have the rest of the team pick them up. I mean, McKinstry, what a joy. I mean, when he hit that two-run single a couple of days ago, he fisted it out there, and then so they flash to the dugout, and you see like JT and Mookie are like, rooting for him and smiling, and that's what baseball is all about. That's what life is all about, the joy of those moments. So I'm with you, David. You're right, life is full of maybes. Kenley's got his maybes, but that's life, and this weekend was just amazing.
Yeah, and for Kenley Marshall, he just has to do it over and over again. Maybe it's not perfect every time out, but the determination on his face today is something I haven't seen in a while. And trust me, these guys hear what people are saying, the doubters out there that believe that they're done. So for him to come out a little bit more determined than what we've seen so far this season, and for him to throw 94-95 is great, but he has to give it to us every time. And he has to, like I said the other day, the worst answer you can get from anybody, your parents, anybody, is maybe. You want to know what you're getting every time out, especially in the ninth inning from your closer. Call back anytime, Marshall from Brooklyn.
Love it.
All right. Thanks for the phone call. 866-987-2570. Now, I mentioned the Dodger rotation is set for this upcoming week. Dustin May was pushed back a couple of days to have Kershaw start on regular rest today. But not only do you have Bauer on Tuesday, May on Wednesday, and Urias on Thursday, meaning Walker Buehler is going to get a couple of extra days rest for his start on Friday to start that three-game series against the San Diego Padres. And then you're going to have Clayton Kershaw on 5 days rest for Saturday. And then you could have Trevor Bauer on regular 4 days rest for Sunday's game in San Diego. So you're looking at Bauer, Buehler, Kershaw, Bauer for those three games in San Diego by pushing back Dustin May to Tuesday and giving Walker Buehler a couple of extra days rest. So they have positioned this perfectly. Dave Roberts said before the game that you could read whatever you want into that, that it, you may think it's specifically for the Padres. I feel like it's kind of a two-for-one here where you're having your top three pitchers set up for the Padres, but also giving them extra days rest and also giving Dustin May extra days rest. 866-987-2570. Let's go out to Manny in L.A. You're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Manny.
Hey, Dave. Nice talking to you. Thanks for taking my call. Long time and frequent caller. Got to give you some props on the McKinstry hashtag secret weapon. I remember seeing you posting that on Twitter last season. And let's keep that puppy going all season long because this guy has been a spark plug for the team. Not only last season, but this season too. He's picked up a lot of the slack, especially with some of our guys being out. I wanted to go back to what Ned Colletti was saying about these guys that they keep picking up like out of nowhere, like, you know, Chris Taylor a couple years back and then Max Muncy. And going even back as far as JT, the Dodgers have some type of culture inside the organization that revitalizes these guys and maxes them out. So props to Colletti and props to the scouting guys. You know, without them, who knows where we'd be right now. But I'm so proud of Kenley Jensen.
How about props to Andrew Friedman? He won the World Series, Manny. No doubt, Ned laid the foundation, but Andrew has been so great at having the patience with a lot of players. I was thinking about this driving in today. You know, the Jock Peterson that we knew last year was not the Jock Peterson in the middle of 2017 when he was hitting around 200. They sent him down to the minor leagues. He comes back, and he turns into Jocktober in the postseason in the World Series and never looked back. But who never gave up on him? Who never decided to just trade him away and give away that asset? It was Andrew Friedman. He has this knack of having patience. And I heard Alex Anthopoulos say that when he left the Dodgers for the Atlanta Braves, that that's what he admired most about Friedman, is that he's able to still work with these players and have staffs work with these players to get even them 1% better than what they were. And I feel like Gavin Lux falls into that category as well. There might be games that we're frustrated with him, maybe makes a couple of bad throws, looks a little lost at the plate, but the Dodgers have a lot of patience. So I think a lot of credit goes to Andrew Friedman and the infrastructure that he's built. All right, before we say goodnight, I know we're just 1 minute past five. I want to have Robert, who's a young 12-year-old Dodger fan, on the air. Robert, I heard it's your birthday. I wanted to wish you a happy birthday.
Thank you.
Were you able to go to the game today?
I was. I went with my dad.
Hey, that's the best person to go with. Who's your favorite Dodger?
My favorite Dodger is Cody Bellinger. I'm sad he's not in right now. Except what makes it better is I got three balls at the Dodger game today. I got a warm-up ball from Clayton Kershaw. Max Muncy threw a ball to me, and I got a foul ball from Austin Barnes.
Hey, that's a great birthday. Thanks a lot for calling and sharing, and thanks for being a Dodger fan, Robert.
Thank you, Mr. Vasse.
Oh, please, please. Nobody calls me that. There are people laughing in right now and driving off the road calling me Mr. Vasse. Anyway, that'll do it for us on Dodger Talk. Thanks to Colin Yee and Dwayne McDonald for their help. We do have off-day Dodger Talk tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And the new manager for USA Baseball, The man that caught more games than any other Dodger in their franchise history, Mike Socia, will join us at 7:15. So you don't want to miss that. You don't want to miss the new Extra Innings podcast with Andre Ethier. Episode 2 has dropped. Episode 3 will drop on Wednesday. You could find all that on the iHeartRadio app. Tuesday night, the Dodgers will be back in action. Trevor Bauer against the Rockies. Antonio Sensatella going for Colorado. Morongo Casino Dodgers on Deck begins at 6 o'clock on Tuesday with first pitch at 7:10. Once again, the final score from Dodger Stadium. The Dodgers sweep the Nationals, shutting them out today 3-0. Have a great night. Enjoy your Sunday. See ya. Like another perfect day.